here I am.
I love the sound effects.
How's it going?
Yeah, feel free to play more of that if you'd like.
It's my entrance.
I love your entrance.
Yeah, so how are you doing this fine?
I'm not dead yet, so that's a good thing, you know.
I guess if you're looking down at the grass instead of looking up at it, it's always a good thing.
Yeah, something like that. I have been back to a degree studying the New World Order. I come off that topic and then go back on it, I don't know, every once in a while, and it just keeps creeping forward. It gets clearer and clearer that a lot of the folks that talk about this stuff are right on the money.
Yeah. I've been following this latest stuff, you know, that's been going on, and like the Vegas thing, and there are just so many crazy things, involved that I've heard from people that they just don't know what to think, and I'm included in some of this stuff now. The ever-present omnious they have got us so confused that we don't know what's real, you know. And I think there was a quote from some, I think it was George Bush, maybe not, I'm not sure, but somebody from the CIA was quoted as saying, when everything the American people believe is a lie, then we've done our job.
So we got the Las Vegas shooting. Do you remember the gunman's name off the top of your head? It all blends together. There's so many of these darn things.
Pat. Yeah. Now, there are several dots with that Las Vegas shooting that I've kind of just labeled as dots. I'm not kind of saying either way. I think it was a hybrid operation. I think that, you know, some people say nobody died. And no, I think that people were really hurt.
Mm-hmm.
And I also think that it was set up ahead of time, which is even worse than a random deal or a bunch of terrorists coming in, because that means it's your government or there's elements somewhere that are, you know, complicit to this and have no qualms about taking innocent American lives. I have a hard time believing that there was not involvement by casino operatives and or elements of the governments, because in order to do something like that in Vegas, in order to get that much metal into a hotel, one of the most surveilled places on the planet outside of, say, Area 51 or a government military base or a DARPA lab or something, is Las Vegas for all the money. And that there is no, well, there is surveillance, of course, footage of him going up elevators probably with duffel bags, unless he had help. Oh, come take the freight elevator. Now, another dot is his girlfriend. His girlfriend, or accomplice, or the woman, is this Filipina girl.
Mm-hmm.
And she happens to not just be some poor Filipina girl from a little Filipina village. She's an ex-martial arts Muay Thai fighter.
That's interesting.
Yeah, so she's a badass. Probably could take you out with one pinky type of person. Not that she's a bad person or anything. I'm just saying she's highly trained. You don't become a Muay Thai fighter, and she's also an ex-model and a Eskrima fighter. Now, my father was an Eskrima master. I know what it takes to... That's no stick fighting, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
To be both an Eskrima fighter, mixed martial arts, and a model, you know, you have to apply yourself. So that means she's got a brain, she's athletic, you know, she's somebody. She's not just some, you know, ball sitting around smoking weed or something. And like minds tend to flock together. So if she's a badass, well, he's successful, he's got a lot of money.
Let me
paint him off as some gambling addict. No, I think he's more like an operative, maybe a mercenary, a deep cover operative. He's linked to the federal system through NASA and JPL, I believe. You know, he's involved with the feds in some way, And if you, you know, any federal agency or government can be a backdoor into Spookland. You could be mild-mannered Joe. I work for the Agriculture Department. But when you go, you don't actually work for the Agriculture Department. You're a very highly trained spook. You know, that's cover. So go ahead.
I wanted to try to get just to get my facts straight on this because I haven't really. Stephen Paddock?
Paddock, I believe. Yeah. Let me double check. I wanted to say Pollock, but is it Stephen Paddock, right?
And he this is so weird. He's at Mandalay Bay, this beautiful hotel in Las Vegas, and he sticks a gun out the window, and I guess there's a country music festival going on.
Okay, I have the videos, several I've downloaded because I sent a couple to Hawk, and he's like, no, the YouTube channel's gone. I'm like, I sent it to you 15 seconds ago, and I check, and it was gone. So I learned to start downloading everything. I have a video. I could play it if I can dig it up, if you'd like to hear it.
Sure.
Let me see if I can find it.
I've heard this guy was pretty wealthy, too. He was a very successful person. At least I heard that. I mean, maybe it was Alex Jones. Yeah.
He was very successful. He had a couple properties. He would spend hundreds of thousands of dollars in the casinos.
Good.
And he made his money by being a professional gambler. No. They said he played the slot machines. You don't win millions of dollars being a professional slot machine.
No, you can't. You can't. They're programmed to make you lose. You can't beat the slot machine.
Exactly. And if you were caught with a device or something, you're out of there. You're blacklisted from all casinos everywhere. Mm. No. Now, could he have been a professional poker player and made a lot of money? Oh, well, sure, that's possible. But I don't believe that was his career. He was linked to Jet Propulsion Laboratories. And so he used to work for JPL and NASA. That right there tells me that if you don't work for JPL just casually. You've got to go through security clearances and everything else. And in order to be in that building, I mean, yeah, you've got to be somebody. So he's obviously highly paid. My speculation is that what it looks like, at least part of this, looks like some sort of an arms deal, like some sort of brokerage, because his Muay Thai girlfriend, spook cover liaison, in my opinion, was in the Philippines during this time receiving a wire for $100,000. Why they didn't use Bitcoin, I don't know. Weren't informed. Oh, well. But so she's receiving a wire for $100,000 while he is apparently in Vegas with 23 or 32 or a half a dozen guns. Now, if you're going to go and kill a bunch of people, you're probably not going to bring a million guns. I don't know. But if you're going to do an arms deal and transfer some equipment, well, that might be the equipment that you're going to transfer. Now, the Mandalay Bay pictures show several windows that were out, not just the two on the 32nd floor, but there's one on the 10th floor. There's a couple on the 9th. And so is it possible that there was a brokerage going on there and they were going to meet in this room on the 32nd to do the deal? His cover was blown. The ISIS / dark CIA operatives on the other side, or whoever, mercenaries, found out who he is, said, okay, when he comes in, we're going to ambush him. Now, it could have been a sting from the FBI. Agencies have been known to fight. There was actually a shootout between the Secret Service and the FBI and the DHS in a Capitol garage in Washington, D.C. not too long ago.
You gotta be kidding me.
There was also a rolling gun battle because the CIA tried to break into that point, the NSA building. NSA has a skyscraper in New York City. It has no windows. It's called the AT&T Long Lines building. So if you Google that, AT&T Long Lines building, that is an NSA stronghold. There was not too long ago, last year, I believe, the CIA had a team that tried to break in for whatever reason. And they were caught by NSA security, who normally would not leave the NSA property, but they pursued the CIA through the streets of New York, shooting in cars, shooting back and forth, wound up at a park, had a shootout. Two people got shot on both sides, or actually, no, two CIA got shot by the NSA. The cops showed up. The police showed up. The NSA took off. They grabbed the CIA guys. They got them to the hospital, and the CIA guys flashed their badges and things, and then the police went, oh, yeah, okay, you guys just try not to kill anybody, and left. And that was sort of swept under rugs. So there have been known confrontations between agencies. So could it have been, back to this Paddock story, that one agency or group was going to meet him for an arms deal? Now, I don't know. This is, it seems kind of hokey that it would be agencies, but if it's an ISIS liaison kind of thing, funneling, the Saudis own the upstairs, I believe they own the Four Seasons or a couple floors. I'm not sure if they own the Four Seasons, but they own a couple floors up there. As well with Bill Gates, I believe, and then also the Four Seasons is on the top of Mandalay Bay. So they, let's say, ambush him. They said there was surveillance set up in the hallway. Well, if you're going to do a sting or something, or if you're an operative, you're probably going to set surveillance platform first. That means you're thinking. That means you're smart. That means you plan things out. You're not just some gambling guy that's like, I'm going to kill a bunch of people. You know. So they get up there. They shoot him. Because it looks like that he was shot either probably in the back of the head, probably with like a hollow point round or something, because it didn't go through the skull the way it went into his head. And there is usually a lot of blood. I see there's some blood, but when you shoot somebody point blank or whatever in the head, there's a lot of blood that comes out. Okay, so he's dead. There was a few casings above the blood that weren't covered in blood, so it looked like some of the shells were put down there after the blood. If there were shells in the ground beforehand, they would be covered in blood because it was a puddle of blood. But the puddle of blood, I've done forensics. I'm trained to understand these things. The puddle of blood was not, you know, it was not covering the bullets. So, okay. So the bullets were laid there afterwards. Of course, everybody should see that there weren't enough shell casings to warrant the hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of rounds that were fired. Plus, there were no burn holes in carpet or the curtains. There was no smoke stains, you know, soot kind of things. There was nothing to indicate no fire. They say, did the fire alarm go off? They say that might have been how they found him. I don't know. I heard the fire alarm did not go off. But we should see burn marks in the carpets and things from the shells. So we don't see that. And then you have the other windows below that were blown out. Now, that means that somebody else was there, that there were separate locations. So could it have been they come, they kill him, take some of the stuff, make this setup, they go to their other spots, and then pull off the deed? That's one scenario. Another thing that I found, though, which is interesting, is, and I haven't located, I'm going to find this file, is they're doing the concert, and you first hear a few from one standpoint, you hear a few shots go off. You hear like, well, one shot, pop. And nobody really notices anything. And then you hear like another one. Just, and the music's going. And you could kind of tell that like the guy with the camera was kind of looking around, but nobody really says anything or does anything. And then you start, and you hear in the distance, and I'll dig this up in a second, you hear in the distance, at least to my ear, somebody screaming, not like, yeah, but like, ah, you know, there's a difference. It's, mm-hmm. It's hard sometimes, but, you know, the difference between a cry of joy or congratulations or whatever, like at a concert, and a cry of, oh, shit. And I think I heard intermixed with the end of the one song where everybody's like, yeah, somebody go, ah, and then you start seeing a few people moving away quickly. And then a few more, and then a few more, and then a rush of people locally. Now, and then it's clear that some people are confused. Like, why is everybody running? You know, what's going on here? because the automatic fire has not started yet. And you can even hear one guy say, what the fuck's going on? You know, and then you hear a few more shots, pop, pop. And then people start realizing, wait a minute, there's something And then it goes into do-do-do-do-do-do, and people start panicking. So I'll let you roll with that for a second while I try to locate this file.
I'm going to play a clip from Robert David Steele, and I'd like to get your take on this once you find your file too here. So sit back.
All right.
Information the mainstream media won't touch. This is the Richie Allen Show in association with DavidIke.com.
A lot of tweets, of course, about Las Vegas. Spoke about it briefly in the monologue. Wanted to wait until we had our next guest on. He's been on the program several times before. We like him. He's a former CIA officer, of course, and the CEO of Earth Intelligence Network. He was recently on the program talking about his initiative, UnRig, which is very interesting, a non-profit civics education campaign, which, of course, within which, of course, he was joined by former Georgia Congresswoman Cynthia McKinney, a really, really important initiative as well. We might talk about that in a few minutes' time, but we want to talk about Las Vegas. Let's welcome back to the show our friend Robert David Steele. Robert, welcome back. How are you?
Richie, glad to be with you. Are we only audio or just video also?
We're just audio today, my friend. I'm too ugly for TV. You're gorgeous, but I'm too ugly for TV, so you can switch off the old TV camera there. Thanks, Robert. Robert, your initial thoughts then, straight up, on what you've seen in the last two and a half days. Stephen Paddock, 64. Dozens killed, hundreds injured. The reaction to it, the media coverage of it. What are your thoughts so far? What do you think?
Number one, it is absolutely a false flag associated with a FEMA drill that has been taking place for several days. It is a false flag. Number two, there is absolutely no evidence that anyone other than Paddock has died. Number three, I'm sure that Paddock, if his hands were tested, would test negative for gun residue, just like Lee Harvey Oswald in Dallas. He's a patsy. What we don't know is whether people have actually died. The entire official narrative is absolutely a lie.
I don't know either. And I was glad to read in the article.
Okay, Mr. Rowe, let me ask you these two questions then. And then I know you have a clip you want to play. But first of all, do you think people were killed? And is Stephen Paddock just a patsy? Was he guilty of shooting anyone?
Well, here's the other scenario that I'm thinking, that there may have been three or four different sniper nests. And I have a hard time believing that he was the one that did the shots. Mm-hmm. I think he was a patsy.
Kind of like Oswald, right? Lee Harvey?
Yeah. There's a graphic that I have that I downloaded also that shows the locations with, you know, when you see Google Earth aerial view of not only, okay, you see the Mandalay Bay, that's where everybody's assuming everything came from, is the Mandalay Bay. Because we have the windows that are huge, that are very heavy, that they were taken out, but nobody, there's no glass on the ground or anything like that. But, okay. But you also have the Delano Hotel, which is the other hotel, looks similar to the Mandalay Bay behind it.
Mm-hmm.
The Delano Hotel has balconies that are open air up on the very top. They also have, there's some footage, it's actually from the video that I'm going to play a few moments of, that shows the glass elevator at the time when there was some shooting. You know, some people are speculating that there might have been a sniper nest up there. It'd be easier to just set up in the balconies that they have. So now you've got Mandalay Bay, Delano, and you also have the Tropicana. The Tropicana is on the other side, so you can get a three-way kill zone into the concert area.
Well, I'm sorry to interrupt you. Let's get the big picture, though. The big question is why? I mean...
That's easy. Why is to instill fear... there's several reasons. I'll go in that in just a second.
Mm-hmm.
Now, let's assume that we have three sniper nests, okay? And you have some highly trained snipers with some high-end equipment. Think about this for a second. What did we hear? We heard like an M60 or an M249 or some sort of heavy machine gun fire, or I guess it could have been a bump stock, but with high caliber, maybe 308 high caliber ammunition being fired from a high caliber weapon. Now, I would think that machine gun fire like that into a crowd of people where there is not even inches really apart when people are all cuddled together like that, if you were firing, you would hit everybody. I mean, you would hit, no shot would miss, just about. If you're firing to a group of huddled masses where there's nobody, blood would be flying everywhere, and bullets would go in one end and out the other of somebody and probably take two people out at the same time with some of those bullets.
Right.
Now, you wouldn't have to aim because they'd all be right there. So that logically thinking on a forensics analysis kind of end, I'm going, okay, this doesn't add up. What would add up? Okay, let's say we have three sniper nests, or maybe a few more, whatever. Let's say three. And then you've got a few people taking shots at the same time. They're all in communication. Pop, pop, pop. Pop, pop, pop. Okay? And then you overlay the sound effects of machine gun fire. And some of the people, you could hear them saying, wait a minute, those aren't real. The sound's coming from the speakers. Those aren't real bullets. But then there are real bullets flying off the ground. So you've got snipers firing real bullets, and you also have sound effects of machine gun fire to induce panic, instill fear, and create a situation where everybody is screaming and nobody's paying attention. Because if you think you're being fired upon with a machine gun, are you going to stop and take a good look around and be, no, you're going to you're going to run for your life. The only thing you're going to be worried about is the loved one who's with you, yourself, and getting you and your loved ones to safety out of harm's way. And of course, you know, maybe you might actually have a little bit of caring and try to look out for whoever's right next to you, but you're not going to be standing around trying to assess the situation. Yeah, that's only after you're getting to safety. So I'm going to play this right now. Let me cue it up. And what you're going to hear, I'll get it queued up. What you're going to hear first is the concert and people just, you know, casually milling about. And then if you listen, you'll hear a shot and then a few more shots. You'll hear the familiar when he's talking, da 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 da, and then he stops. And then you'll hear the machine gun fire, because everybody's assuming that when the machine gun started, that was when it started. And it's not. People already were getting shot. That's why those people were running beforehand when he was going, what's going on? Because a sniper had already sniped somebody. Now, it's possible that he took a few pop shots before he laid in full, I guess. But the location on where the Mandalay Bay is from the angle of this video and where the people first got shot and the location of the people running from the concert is possibly indicative that the first shots came from behind, which would be more like the Tropicana, which would explain why nobody would see muzzle flash anyway from the Mandalay Bay, because they didn't have flash suppressors on any of those guns. And a sniper would probably have a flash suppressor that you would never see. Okay, I'm going to play this. Here we go. Another one. There's three so far. Okay, now I paused it. The first scream is like somebody like, yeah, and then you might hear the panic screams, and then you're going to start to, well, in your mind's eye, you can hear that people are starting to sort of walk out very fast. Other people are confused because nobody really is sure what's going on yet, and then the machine gun starts, and we'll continue here.
And the singer goes on. My God.
What's so at that point, of course, that's when the machine gun starts. And now this video is about 15 minutes or so long. I could send you a copy.
Gosh. Right. Well, you know, let's step back a little bit, Mr. Roy. What I think so important for people to understand about this is the big picture and who we're up against. Those are the kind of things, if you could comment on that.
Well, here's something. Imagine it was the anniversary, 100 years to the day, of the Bolshevik Communist Revolution uprising. Number two, it was done in the shadow of a black pyramid and an obelisk. And number three, there's a big bright light that says Route 91 Harvest.
Oh, you're kidding me.
No, I'm not.
Oh, my gosh.
And then, of course, you've got all the numbers involved. You got, the 32nd floor, 23 guns, this, that, and the other thing. And the T-shirt that his brother was wearing is, let me see, Stephen, I've got to get me a picture, and then I can tell you.
Okay, how does this shooting tie in to the elite's plan for a one-world government?
Okay, real quick to finish my thought, the T-shirt real quick that the brother was wearing is sort of significant because it's an elite signal. It was for some art thing. It's a black T-shirt. It said something about art. And the company that T-shirt represented has somebody involved who is a crisis management executive who has connections to the Pulse nightclub. Okay, so there are some weird coincidences, and why I think that's significant is because that's how they communicate. This is sort of a symbol, like we did it, you know, or at least a brand marker, so that the other in the know folks would see that and go, okay, it was this group or it was this family, because there are several groups, there are several families of the elite. This is a game like we cannot assume that the powers that be, the structures that run this world, are all playing on the same game. They play in the same pool. They're like the mob. They're all made men, and they all meet at their little mobsters meeting, and they divvy up their territories, and sometimes they fight.
Mm-hmm.
They don't share information with each other because they're all fighting for dominance. Well, that's exactly what we have going on. But they also know each other's markers. They know when somebody came along and peed on somebody else's tree. It's like gangsters marking with spray paint or whatnot. And that's why I think the significance of the T-shirt was there. Because, okay, here we have this event, and all the gangsters are going, all right, who did it? And then you see on the news, okay, it's that group. Well, we know who did it now. And then they know who's saying in what signal. And all the sheep, like you and me and everybody, bah, moo, cow, moo. You know, we're all like, ooh, you know, we're just buying whatever the mainstream legacy media is going to tell us on TV. I can guarantee you that whatever story they're telling you is not the truth.
So the elites have had this long-term plan to create a globalist fascist state of control. And how does this shooting fit into that?
Well, it first off, it instills a little bit of fear.
Mm-hmm.
Gets people talking. It instills also some division because, you know, there's people fighting on what actually took place. And then there's groups out there going, yeah, we need to, you know, ban the guns and this and that. And you see.
Right.
So there are several things that this can take care of. Although I'm not exactly sure that was the main reason. I don't know if that was the main. This, it may have been as mundane as an elite ceremonial opening.
Really? So,
a little toodah doodah before the big, you know, show, if you will, before their big move.
Mm-hmm.
This could be a shot across the bow to the Trump faction, the Templar faction.
Well, tell us about the Trump faction, the Templar faction.
Well, it is my opinion that we have a few groups that are, of course, vying for power. Now, one of the groups that had control of the United States for all of our lifetimes, hundreds of years, has had control of the United States, is this Skull and Bones death cult group. They are aligned with, at this point, I believe they are globalists. They are aligned with the Muslim Brotherhood. They are aligned with the Vatican. And they are in opposition to the Templars, Orthodox Christian, I believe there's a group of the Israeli Firster Zionists as well. This is the Israeli Firster Zionists are splintered off from the globalist Zionists. And they have made an alliance, I believe, with the Knights Templars to take back the Al-Aqsa Mosque and build the temple, which is the Templar mandate. That goes back to the Crusades. And
okay, let me ask. I'm sorry to interrupt you.
Go ahead.
I want to make sure I understand here. So are you saying Trump is aligned with the Templars and the Zionists?
Yes, the Israeli Zionists.
And the Israeli Zionists explain what they want.
They want to prevent the Muslim Brotherhood from achieving too much power, and they want to take back the Jerusalem. There is the Al-Aqsa Mosque, the Dome on the Rock.
So we're seeing a struggle to create this world government, is what you're saying.
Yes. Now, the Knights Templar have gone into hiding, and they utilize the La Cosa Nostra, the Sicilian Mafia, and organized underground crime as their military wing, so to speak, in the modern age. Now, the Templars have come out of hiding, and they are now have taken back through their high priest Donald Trump, the United States and power of the United States. So who controls the United States controls the military might, has a huge advantage, because we that's the main thing, is there is a struggle for power, and Donald Trump is a direct descendant from the last Viking sea king. His name was Olaf the Black. Olaf the Black was a Christian pagan fusion sea king. And Donald Trump, a lot of people don't know, speaks Gaelic. He's a Druidic priest. Hillary Clinton, by contrast, is a Ninth Circle Illuminati witch. These people are very aware of the nature of these forces that we are not privy to, you know, learn about in conventional ways. You know, and we look at these things like, what, you know, Ninth Circle witch, a Druidic priest. I mean, this is just a bunch of pomp and circumstance. No, they do utilize certain forces of nature and tap into unknown communications with extra dimensional creatures, spirits, demons, if you will, and manipulate the world around us, which I believe is sort of a sandbox. I'm not even entirely sure that the people that we think are our leaders are either A, who they say they are, and not actors for someone else that is behind the scenes, or B, not just sort of semi-effective, defective clones that were left while the true people left for another land, another place that we're not allowed to know about, like the secret islands that aren't on the map.
So Olaf the Black is a ancestor of Trump, and he was a Druidic priest?
He was a Viking sea king.
A Viking sea king.
Okay. Yeah, Donald Trump is a Druidic priest.
Gotcha. Are the Zionists in control of the mainstream media?
Some are. I think some are. And now what I see is a split in the Zionists, because you have the globalists, which are the bankers.
Yeah.
And then you have the Israeli Firsters. And I think that there has been sort of a schism. You have groups like, let's say, Henry Kissinger, who's a globalist Zionist. Then you have Benjamin Netanyahu, who is an Israeli Firster.
Hmm.
And so that's the difference. If the globalists have aligned themselves with the Muslim Brotherhood, and they have aligned themselves with the Vatican, the Catholic Church, in opposition to that, you have the Templars, who have aligned themselves with the Orthodox Christians, and the Israeli Firsters, who are determined to retake Jerusalem and that whole area and create greater Israel. That's why you see the Trump Israel, hand in hand on this. Now, the Chinese are sort of stuck in the middle. They were at first with the globalists, and I think they like to veer that way. But in actuality, they know that they cannot survive alone. They're going to die, and I'll tell you in a minute why. But they need somebody to buy all their stuff because they are the manufacturing base of the world. They create the stuff. They make the stuff, factory cities. Chinese race is not going to survive unless they start intermixing with other races. And the reason is because China likes to ban everything. And China, at one point, banned too many children. And everybody said, well, we have to have men. And when you have all men, you cannot reproduce. So now they went, oh, shit, we don't have enough girls. Yeah, China, good job. Well, China has recently banned the Quran. So it looks like China is moving sides there. They just want somebody to buy their stuff. So China is slowly shifting from their neutrality toward, it looks like, I would hope, our side, or at least the Templar side. Now, what's the difference? Well, the globalist side wants to do away with borders. They want to create a slave class, basically a, like you said, David Icke was talking about, is to have a technocratic dictatorship, a fascist global control, total control state.
Right.
Whereas there are no borders and everybody is an equal slave. So it's complete communist, socialist, Marxist. The other side says, no, these are the, now this other side is the group that broke away and started a country called the United States of America, several hundred years back, because they believe that although men are a problem, they can actually tinker around, and we do need borders. We do need our culture. We can do better as a whole for the group if we are allowed to have certain freedoms and liberties that will allow us to have a healthy competition and be able to expand the paradigm in a positive way for everybody. Hence, we call this capitalism and liberty. And so I tend to, agree with that other side, the capitalist liberty side. And yes, we do need borders. If we didn't, do we need doors? Do we need walls? Do we need fences? Or did you just go into your neighbor's house and hang out? Do they come to yours? You might invite them once in a while, but don't you like to have a little space? Everybody talks about safe spaces now. We've already had safe spaces. They're called frickin' borders, And now everybody wants to be. We're not, as a whole, we are not perfect, morally upright, just people. And everybody that tries to do this posturing of, look at my moral signal, virtual signaling, and how wonderful I am, and how I care about everything. No, you're a human. You have faults. Admit it. That's okay. It's, you all try to be better, and we all try to get along. But when you try to force a behavior on somebody that's not natural, to try to say you're going to taste oranges when I give you this apple. There's some things you just cannot do. You cannot train people to be a certain way. And people may disagree with what I'm about to say, but everybody's racist. It's just keeping it under tab and stuff. And it's not that everybody's racist like all the time. It's just an inherent thing. It's nature. Alligators go with alligators. When you're in prison, think about this. They don't beat around the bush in jail. When you're in prison, they put it right out there. If you're white, you go with the whites. If you're Latino, you go with the Latinos. If you're black, you go with the blacks. That's because why? Because that's just the way it is. That's just human nature. And see, we're all afraid to face the truths and realities that we are. We have sin. We go around and how many people have killed a bug in your lifetime? Have you ever taken a life? Yes, you've killed a bug without any remorse. Huh? Just smash that bug and maybe.
Okay. Let's back up a little bit.
Okay, I can go off.
What I want to do is let's try to clarify this idea of the elite's plan for the future. And the elite, they have a long-term plan to create a globalist, fascist state of control where there's a world government in place. And how does the shooting tie into this desire for the elites to create a world government?
I think it's a baby step. Like I said, I think it's not a huge issue. You know, to us, it's big. It's like, wow, you know, more people died. It's a mass shooting, blah, blah. But to them, well, that's good news. To them, it's a baby step in the likes of what I see. The main thing is Chertoff. Michael Chertoff and OSI and his group are going to merge a few years because he is the guy that has the company. He's a prime shareholder in the company that creates the backscatter terahertz wave machines that put in all the airports. And by the way, here's an interesting story. I used to live in Europe. I've done a lot of work overseas, and I worked extensively intimately with the Dutch Marechaussee. The Dutch Marechaussee is the Dutch military police and the douane, which are customs over there, but mostly the Marechaussee. And I had a conversation with a couple agents in just, you know, casually about the underwear bomber. Because if you recall, the underwear bomber, I think it was the underwear bomber, it was either the shoe bomber or the underwear bomber, it was anywhere, was brought in from like Yemen through Schiphol, which is Amsterdam's airport, and then got on a plane, I believe it was to San Francisco, to the United States. Well, during that time, they found out, of course, that he had a bomb, right, in his underwear. He was trying to light it all on fire, remember that? And invented that. And then after that, shortly after that, they started putting up all these machines, okay? Now, I asked the Dutch Marechaussee guy, I said, what was the deal with this underwear bomber? I mean, how could he get on the plane? We were just having a conversation. And he told me point blank, he's all, well, he was escorted on. And I'm like, he was escorted? You mean the quote-unquote sharp-dressed man? They all say, oh, he was a sharp-dressed man, mysterious sharp-dressed man. And the guy said, yeah, that was a State Department guy from the United States Department of State. And he came and he escorted him on. He signed for him, you know, so the U.S. Department of State knew exactly what was going on. And they had a video camera with a guy in the back video cameraing the whole thing on the plane. It was all a stage setup. There was no fear of him being bombed. He was supposed to do that. It was scripted. That's the way it is. So back to Chertoff and the machines. Again, there's a minor little incident. Not minor, of course, in the terms of the people that died, but I mean in the view of the people that create these things. This is something to start promoting and get people thinking about safety. Now, safety where? Where do you go? When you go to Las Vegas, what are you doing? You're going on vacation, right? What do you have fun? You're going to let your cares go, not worry, let your guard down, be catered to, maybe even win some money, but yeah, spend some money, have fun, drink, party, have a good time, and forget about the world. Now, what happens when terror and all this crap comes to your one last refuge? Oh, next will be Disneyland. So it's also putting psychological schism into everybody's head. Like, well, am I going to be safe in Vegas? No, not anymore. Oh, but we'll make sure, because guess what? We're going to turn Vegas into an airport. We're going to put all these machines up. We're going to have all these people everywhere. So now your fun place is going to be saturated with police state. That'll get you acquainted with having every little bit of fun and freedom overshadowed by the ever-present, omnipresent watching eye of the gun-wielding law enforcement officer. And it'll be at Disneyland, too. They might even blow something up there first. They might not have to, because America will go, yeah, we need to. I mean, you'll be standing in line to get in your hotel, and you'll be going through a hassle. Well, they've taken away the Confederate flag. They've taken, you know, they've taken away sports. They're taking everything. And why did I say Confederate flag? That's a baby step. It's an acclimation. You know, if they can get you to acclimate to one thing, and why do I know that remember that whole Confederate flag fiasco? That was also manufactured. The next day, Walmart had General Lee's from the Dukes of Hazzard that had the flag on top without the flag. You mean to tell me that the factory in China that created that toy created that in one day and they got it on the shelf? No, they planned it ahead of time. Everything is planned. And so it doesn't matter how small, like it's a little issue. The statues, you want to erase history. You know, they were talking about how earlier on a roundtable this morning on freedomslips.com about how the Navy is now denying that the Philadelphia experiment, the Eldridge and all that ever even happened.
Mm.
They're trying to change history. And they might be able to do it because our millennials and other generations now, see, they're detached far enough away where, you know, that's they weren't alive. And our generation is our generation, and they're thinking differently. I mean, hell, they want a Marxist state, a lot of them.
Oh, yeah. They'll take the chip. They'll ask for the microchip.
Yeah. So history can be changed in a few generations.
And so describe this Orwellian world government that's being set up, the end game, the ultimate goal. Oh,
first off, I do not think that blockchain and Bitcoin are part of it. A lot of people, I got to say this, a lot of people think that the blockchain and Bitcoin are going to be the cashless society. And No, that is the redeemer. It's just the opposite. Once you understand, and it takes a little bit of technical knowledge, but once you delve into it and you understand how decentralized blockchain technology, open source, works, where me, you, your brother, your mother, your sister can all contribute and write code, and we can all see what's going on at the same time, and it's from me to Mark, and Mark to his mom, and you know, and his mom to his cousin, or whatever, and not the bank in between every transaction. And then you can apply that to anything. Like you could create your own legal document. So you could make your own notarized document. And now you don't have to deal with the lawyer. Now you don't have to deal with the notary. There's a lot of reasons why people don't want it. But what will be is probably some sort of biometric system. That's not to say that the powers that be will not try to create their own type of blockchain technology, because blockchain technology is like fire or steel. It can be used to make a sword. It can be used to make a frying pan or a cage. So fire can burn your house down or can cook your food. Now, that's the same with blockchain. So its initial inception is not going to be used to track everybody. That being said, I believe they're going to come out with some sort of biometric system. First, it'll be they're doing it with the RFID. They've got you carrying your cell phone around. They've got you carrying your smart device. That always knows where you are. And I don't know. I think that they'll, like you said, the kids, they're not going to worry about us older generations. They're going to go after the younger generations. There's already clubs like in Holland and in Barcelona, Free Catalunya, that will take and put a chip in you, and then you can, you know, use it as like, you know, beep to get in the door through the VIP, beep, pay for your drink, beep, whatever. And it's so chic. And so if they can act, I'm sure that they'll have first some video games and things. They might try another false flag and then say, well, for security, we want to chip people. I think they might try that, say, you know, make sure that you're not a terrorist, everybody that, you know, I don't know. I'm not, you know, it's interesting. I'm just not sure on how many people would go for that, because all the people I know say, hell no, and you're not going to take a chip, you know.
I think a lot of, like you said, a lot of folks, a lot of kids that will.
Yeah, I think that'll be it first. And they may even come up with some passive way of doing it where they don't have to microchip you. I believe that they, I pretty much know, actually, that they have satellites now that can basically find you by your signature, by your biosignature. Now, they have to know first a reference point. They have to actually take, have some DNA or something to create a biosignature from you. I guess I can say this. I didn't sign a thing about this. That they can then match that and track you anywhere in the world once they have your biosignature. It was like highly classified years ago, but I think it's pretty much known that now the technology of satellite systems. I mean, they have satellite. I used to work for a company. It was called TRW Space and Defense, where we actually built the keyhole satellites and some of the other DSP platforms and all of these other commsats. And they've got satellites that can tell what kind of gas you have in your car. Okay.
Well, I just learned today of something called the DSP, or the Deep Space Platform,
yep,
which monitors and records everything that's going on the Earth and in a lot of outer space.
Well, there's DSP defense support, and then they have deep space as well. I haven't worked for the the industry for quite a while, well over a decade. But yeah, they and satellites are real. People will say, satellites aren't real. No, they are. They are real.
Well, let's not go into that whole thing. There's the flat Earth, and there's no satellites, and there's a dome over everything. And
I have my own opinion. I actually believe that the Earth is actually, if you believe this, I'll give it to you, it's bigger.
Okay.
It's bigger. There's a reason why people say, well, how come you never see a full Earth? How come, what is the anomalies? How come we can't go to Antarctica? It's because Antarctica is more like, imagine if Antarctica was an equator and we're on a northern hemisphere of a much larger globe. There were two suns, one called Bol and one called Sol. Bol is for the lower hemisphere and Sol is for the northern alliance, the upper hemisphere. And Antarctica is actually the wall is the equator, the equatorial region. And there are things about space that are different and we aren't told. And those flat earthers do have some very, very good points. I'll just leave it at that. But the round earthers also have some very good points. So somewhere in the middle. And that's about all I'm going to say about that.
Okay. Tell me a little bit about the World Central Bank and the World Army.
Well, I guess I don't think I'm the guy that's an expert on that.
Okay.
But I think the UN is, trying to be the world global conglomerate. One thing I'll tell you is I believe that the Bilderberg meetings, that they have,
mm-hmm.
that meeting is basically a sort of a get together on what's going to be on the script for the year.
Oh, my.
Yeah, that it's almost like the whole world is a stage. 90% of the world is, I believe, these people that are our leaders are actors. Yeah. They're taking orders. Everybody said, well, the president has his higher authority. He's got these above top secret. There's these other levels of secrecy and all these people above him. And, yeah. Because think about the president of the United States. Oh, it's the most powerful man in the world. Really? They get this guy for 4 years. They make him the most powerful man in the world. Then he goes away. I don't buy it. He's a guest for four, maybe eight. And mm-hmm. and there was a quote where I forget which president was told that. I think it was either Nixon or Kennedy, where they were saying, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. I'm the president of the United States. And some guy came, some nameless face with a fedora, came up and said, Mr. President, sir, with all due respect, you're a guest in this house for four, maybe 8 years. Some of us have been here for decades, and we will be here for decades after you. So basically to kind of put him in his place, and that does put some perspective on it. It's like, yeah, you're elected for a few years as a guest to make suggestions.
Well, I voted for Trump, and it wasn't long after he got in that he kind of fell in line with the whole New World Order system in some ways. What are your thoughts?
I think he and his family are being threatened.
Sure.
I think he's being drugged.
I've heard him. I've heard the talk about him being drugged. Tell us more about that.
Well, they are very good at giving you just a little tiny, tiny bit at a time. Mm-hmm. And what's not noticeable. But over time, you'll start to become subliminally addicted. Now, we're not talking about conventional, just like, oh, here's a little hydrocodone, here's a little scopolamine, here's a little bit of, sodium pentothal, whatnot. No, we're talking about highly exotic, very classified substances that we don't even know exist. That can do all sorts of things, make everything seem normal and create hallucinations. There is something that is rather mundane. It's been around for a while. You can get it. It's called devil's breath. And it's a concoction of scopolamine and some other stuff that was it's taken from one of the flowers down in South America, like in Colombia. And it has been used. You go up to somebody and you blow it in their face, kind of like tetrodotoxin, which will turn you into a zombie, basically. It makes you frozen where you can experience everything but appear dead. But Devil's breath does something else. You don't, cannot see from the outside. Like if I come up to you and go, okay, Mark, let's go to your bank and take out all the money. And you'll be like, oh, sure. Okay. And then let's go to your apartment and, go ahead and call a moving van and have them unload everything in your apartment at the moving van for you. Sure. No problem. It makes you completely docile, normal, and willing to do just about anything anybody suggests. Take this knife and slice your own throat. Okay, if you say so. Right. You know, I mean, it's that powerful. And there's several reports where one guy he had his entire bank account emptied, his apartment emptied, and he went back. He went and then woke up like in an empty apartment and went downstairs to the doorman. And he's like, I've been robbed. Why didn't you, you know, there's no way anybody could have robbed me without going past you. Didn't you see people taking stuff out of the apartment and ask them? And the doorman said, well, you were with them. And I asked you if you were moving out, and you said, yeah, everything's fine.
Goodness.
You were doing your apartment.
Goodness.
And the guy said, I don't remember saying, well, here's one. And they showed him a video camera. And there you are talking to me, telling me everything's fine. And he had like a smile on his face. Yeah, I just emptied my apartment. So can they take substances and tweak them? Oh, you bet you can. And at the same time, could they go up to you and say, look, you know, your family is doing rather well. It'd be a shame if, you know, they were to get brain cancer or something in a year, wouldn't it?
And they do that, too. They kill a lot of people that way.
You know, yeah, it'd be a shame if, you know, something were to happen. Or they might even play on something else and say, look, not only hopefully your family won't get brain cancer, but hopefully a dirty bomb won't go off in New York City or something. You know, and say, so these people are so crazy that they may be so desperate to say, look, we don't give a shit. We don't care. You're going to do it our way, or we're really going to create hell on earth. And you're going to look bad. It'll be under your presidency, Mr. Trump, that San Francisco, New York, and Miami get nuked. And just as to show you that we're not playing, look at Vegas tomorrow night. You know, I mean, they could do something like that. And then boom, 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 boom.
It's staggering. It's a little overwhelming. I try not to. I try to keep my optimistic and confident point of view. When you're looking at all this, it's very, very challenging. Mr. Rowe, it's a whole hour. I don't know how we went so fast through the whole hour. Why don't you tell the listeners about your show and where they can learn more about your information?
Sure. I am on freedomsubs.com, which is Revolution Radio. And I actually have three shows. On Mondays, I do a show called Crypto Corner. And it's a one-hour show on Studio A. It's at 1 p.m. Pacific time. And we talk about Bitcoin and blockchain technology and all that good stuff. And then on Tuesdays, at the same time, 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern, again on Studio A, another hour. And that's Rose Corner with Mr. Rowe with me. And I talk about political stuff or ramble or just whatever stuff is on my mind. And then, of course, I have my main show, which is on Thursday evenings at 5 p.m. Pacific. That'd be 8 p.m. Eastern on Studio B. And that is a two-hour show. And I have guests. I've had different guests. I've talked to a couple exorcist priests before.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah. I have to get them back on. One of them was the guy that they did the movie from, The Rite, Father Thomas.
Hmm.
And he is the only, guy that's been trained fully from the Vatican. There's some thing. Well, basically they made the movie with, what's his name? Anthony Hopkins, who played the part. And it's a true story based on his actual training in fighting of the demons. So if anybody needs an exorcist, let me know. I can get you in contact with it. There's also one here in California, an archbishop that I've talked to, and he does them for free. He'll come out to your place and assess. And they do a psychological evaluation and all that first. And then they, you know, they need to exorcise the demon. And they're all very busy, by the way. I asked them. They're very busy. And real quick, I asked how do they know it's a demon? And they said, oh, there's different ways to tell. And some of them told us some of the ways. But he said one interesting thing is every once in a while, you find out it's not a demon. And I said, and what is it? He says, an extraterrestrial.
Ah.
So there's a difference.
Church. Indeed.
Yeah, and I've had people like Leo Zagami, Bill Deagle, and so check out the show Thursday nights, 5 p.m. Hopefully we'll have John B. Wells this week. So we're trying to get a confirmation, and hopefully we'll have John B. Wells on for Thursday. And yeah, so thank you very much, Mark, for having me on. We'll have to do this again. And
yeah, what would you say your area of expertise is in terms of the New World Order?
Oh, mine?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Generalist.
Are you kind of a generalist?
Yeah, yeah. I'm a polymath, you know, just to get information and data from all sorts of different vectors.
Very
so,
interesting.
Yeah, I don't really say I would have an expertise on the New World Order at all.
Interesting. You certainly come off that way. You're very informed anyway. We'll just leave it at that.
I'll take that as a compliment. Thank you very much.
All right. We'll talk to you later.
All right, Mark. Have a great one.
Bye-bye.